Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A little solo pod, had some technical issues, so just going to be me here. We'll do baseball in segment two. We'll do the football here in segment one, NFL, and then a couple college thoughts. Boy, these college jobs just keep opening up like crazy. Brian Kelly, the latest to get a $50 million goodbye, $50-plus million goodbye. So get into I do have one college football future that I want to get to, but we'll start with the NFL. And my goodness, what a boring, brutal day of football. Usually you sit down from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock when the Sunday night game starts, and even on a bad day, three, four, five good games, one or two really good games. The 4 o'clock slate, the later slate was awful. Denver and Dallas and Tampa and New Orleans was unwatchable. Colts-Titans was never a game. That was a waste of time. The one game that was exciting early, the Jets with just an incredible comeback win. If you had Bengals in Survivor, wow, that's just as bad as it gets. And that game, right before that game, maybe an hour or so before, putting this all in perspective, Jets, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Jets legend, the offensive lineman, Nick Mangold, dead at 41, four kids. Just an awful story. I guess he had kidney issues. He was asking for a kidney a couple weeks ago on Twitter. And you get the news that he passed away. Just an awful, awful news. Which, again, kind of puts things in perspective. You're mad about bad bets, bad beats, Survivor, all this stuff. That's one that really makes you think. But that was the game of the day in terms of just being interesting and exciting. And Kevin Rogers had this tweet. The Bengals led at this game 10-0, 17-3, 24-10, 31-16, 38-24. So four different times they led by two touchdowns plus, and they had a 10-0 lead to start. That, and then you lose that game at home to the Jets. It's just incredible. It really is. Now, from a big picture perspective, really doesn't mean a whole lot. And I'll get to the AFC North here in a second, because the bets that I've been recommending and tracking the past couple weeks both took a big hit today. The Ravens to miss the playoffs, the Steelers to win the division. As we're recording this, the Packers are on a furious comeback, a furious rally. The Steelers had a chance to put this game away, and the Packers look like they're going to win on a night where the Steelers not only lose, but the Ravens, without their quarterback, who was expected to play, they were 6.5-point favorites, 7-point favorites Friday, and then Saturday morning, all of a sudden, I was looking at the lines. You see the line come down. You see the tweet come out. Not so fast on Lamar Jackson, which I actually brought up on the Megapod on last week on Wednesday, whenever we did it with Aaron Schatz. Like, are we sure Lamar is playing hamstring? He's been kind of limited. I don't know if it was some gamesmanship. I don't know if it was more nefarious than gamesmanship. I don't know if it was just, reconsidering the decision. But even without their quarterback, they win the game. They cover all numbers because they close like a 1-2-point favorite. They end up winning by 14. Bears had a chance late to get in the back door. Looked like they were going to score a touchdown and probably go for two to get within that six. But they just completely threw up on themselves when they got inside the two late in that game. And the Ravens go from a scenario where they could have been 1-6, toss-up game, 1-5, backup quarterback, third string, whatever you want to say Huntley is. And you could say all you want, easy schedule, winnable division, all that stuff. 1-6 is 1-6. 1-6 is not something you're coming back from. 1-6, I mean, think about it. You got to run the table to get to 11-6. You got to go 9-1 just to get to 10 wins. I guess 8-2, you could have possibly, talked yourself in, all right, 9 wins win the division, something like that. But they win, Steelers on their way to losing, and now the Ravens are going to be, even two games out, pretty sizable favorites, I would think, over Pittsburgh. Starting to get some defenders back, Baltimore, soft schedule. They get Miami here on a Thursday night. They've got Hamilton back, a bunch of these defensive players. They play Pittsburgh twice. You're probably going to have to, with a two-game deficit, you're probably going to have to sweep them, but it's a long enough season now where two is a lot different than 1-5, 1-6. And think about it. Steelers were 5.5-point favorites 10 days ago on Thursday night against the Bengals and had a pretty comfortable lead here against the Packers on Sunday night. They were winning. They were driving. Looked like Green Bay was missing a bunch of field goals. It looked like the Steelers were going to win this game. The Steelers had a chance to really take control of this division but couldn't do it. So that is the big takeaway. The Ravens back from the dead. The Steelers and their division hopes, even though they have a two-game lead, take a massive hit. Defense looked awful. Just a terrible performance. Tucker Kraft going wild. Other than that, again, there's not that many big takeaways. Atlanta with a terrible performance against Miami. Man, I was sitting here a couple weeks ago. after they beat the Bills on Monday night. You think, man, they got a defense. They got some skill guys. They have looked awful since. And I was texting, I think I was texting Gil and the guys in the group chat, Bear and Wishnev and Fez. I said, this game is, I just said the score, 34-3 Dolphins. And I followed that up. What the bleep is the point? Or what's the bleeping point of betting this stuff? 34-3 Miami. And we sat here and watched Miami stink for the first, what, six, 7 weeks. We've seen Atlanta play pretty well, play pretty well at home. Now, I know Cousins was in instead of Penix, and Cousins looked completely washed. And I've never been a big Cousins fan anyway. And those, boy, they are not well coached. Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson. How does Bijan Robinson only have six touches at the end of the first half? But that's one where you just kind of throw your hands up. I mean, 34-3 Dolphins with how bad Miami's looked. I know it's Cousins, but Cousins is not that much of a drop-off from Penix, you would think. I mean, it turned out to be. But going into the game, it's not like the line moved 2-3 points. The line barely moved. I think it went from 7.5 to 7, even with the Penix questionability. And that's just a terrible performance by Atlanta. It's hard to take them seriously with a performance like that. Remember, it's the team that lost 30-0 at Carolina, and now they have this performance on the resume. Just an awful performance, but you know, not that many big takeaways, not that many games where you go into today and feel differently at the end of the day than you did at the beginning. Patriots starting to look for real, even though they beat up on cupcakes. The Colts continue to look for real. Again, beating up on bad teams, but you know, you can only beat who you play. And the Colts right now, the one seed if the season ended today. So just, you know, those are the big takeaways. I would say this too. You're going to hear a lot of this, and I feel like this becomes a yearly thing. You're going to hear a lot of this. Taylor for MVP. He's the best player. He's the most valuable player. 2 years ago, it was McCaffrey. Last year, it was Barkley. He had the big game against the Rams, ran for over 200 yards, three touchdowns, just a monster night on Sunday Night Football. And he went from like 50-1 down to 8-1, 10-1. I just don't think a running back is going to win it. At 35-1, do you want to take a shot? I'm not going to talk you out of a 35-1. I'm not betting it. I'm not recommending it. I think we do this every year. The running back that's off to a hot start, the running back that has the best stats, we think, all right, he can win it. He's live. They never win. They never really come close. I think McCaffrey came third a couple years ago. It's a quarterback award. And we've had voters say, Aaron Schatz has come on this podcast before, in different iterations. I think it was the old one. But he's been on this podcast before, and he's a voter and said, in pretty much just paraphrasing him, it's hard for me to picture voting for anyone other than a quarterback because the word valuable is in the award. Most valuable player, and the quarterback, the best quarterback, is just more valuable than the best running back. So I wouldn't recommend Taylor. I just think this is something that is a yearly occurrence where people try to push for it and say, I love this one. Jonathan Taylor should be in the MVP conversation, which is really just a nice way of saying you don't think he should win. If you think he's the MVP, say you think he's the MVP. But when you say, I think he should be in the conversation, what are you really saying? You think he should finish fourth or fifth and not win? I mean, that's really how I take it. So that'll be discussed a lot. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think Taylor is going to win this award. Maybe the day will come. Maybe the day will come when, I mean, 2012 is not that long ago. That's the last time a non-quarterback won. Peterson won with the great season where he almost broke the rushing record. But even that year, they went into the playoffs and the Vikings had Peterson and they played Aaron Rodgers in the first round and they got killed because, and I think Rodgers finished second that year because the Packers had a quarterback and the Vikings didn't. And the best quarterback is just more important than the best running back. I mean, it's really that simple. So wouldn't recommend Taylor. As I mentioned, Drake, this market's fascinating. Drake May is down to 4-1. I think that's a little early for him. That's another guy I wouldn't bet. Mayfield, the bluster's come off a little bit on him. You know, I mentioned either on here or on other shows. I felt like he was peaking too early. I didn't feel like what they're doing is sustainable. DraftKings has him 11-1. FanDuel has him 16-1. The market for that right now, Mahomes plus 125, Allen plus 350, May plus 450, Mayfield and Stafford both 11-1. I don't mind the Stafford one. We had Kev O'Neill on last week. He likes Stafford. Goff 18-1, Jones 20-1, and then Taylor 35-1. Not enough for me. Hurts 25-1, Herbert 28-1. Herbert's team is too banged up, I think. Hurts, not terrible at 25-1. Dak Prescott, 40-1. His team's not going to win enough. Darnold has played pretty well. Darnold at 50-1 is probably the best value of all that stuff. But is Sam Darnold actually going to win the MVP? Probably not. Probably not. It's a tough market because the books know it's going to be a quarterback, so they just slash the numbers on all the quarterbacks. It feels like the hold is really, really tough with this stuff. You got five guys here, 11-1 or shorter. I mean, that's just a hard market to beat with those numbers. So really boring day. I mean, just a bad day of football. And if you think next week is going to be better, I got some bad news for you. Okay, we get the Chiefs-Bills. That's become the best rivalry, I think, in football. They play in the playoffs every year. They got, you know, probably the two best quarterbacks in the league, Mahomes and Allen. And it's interesting. The Bills always win in the regular season every single time. I think it'd be four or five straight times in the regular season. The Chiefs always beat them in the playoffs. The Chiefs have beaten them every playoff game. So it's very weird how that works, where the Bills dominating the regular season matchups and the Chiefs dominating when it counts in January. So that's a great game next week as we turn the calendar to November. Boy, November 2nd, that game is. But if you look at the rest of the games, Chargers-Titans, does that do anything for you? Vikings-Lions, maybe McCarthy will be back by then. Be nice if he could play once in a while. Bears-Bengals, that game get you excited? Rams-Saints, how's that one? Jags-Raiders, Seahawks-Commanders, not terrible. Cowboys-Cardinals is the Monday night game. It is really not much better games. You know, Giants-49ers, I don't know if I mentioned that. Kind of an ugly slate next week. Now, who knows? Just because the slate is ugly doesn't mean the games won't be exciting. That was the problem today. The games just were not exciting through and through. I can't remember. I know there's some recency bias, but I can't remember a day where the games were just this lacking in excitement. But the Monday night game, Chiefs, who seem to be back on track, seem to be like the old Chiefs of 3-4 years ago, where they could score a bunch of points, score in the 30s. They're a 10.5 point favorite, total 48.5. I like the Chiefs team total over 30.5. I just don't trust them to lay this number. Mariota's not a terrible backup. I just want to play the Chiefs offense versus the Washington defense, which I think is pretty mediocre. So 30.5 is a lot. I mean, it's expensive. And you do have the whole thing with the Bills on deck, which is part of why I don't want to lay it. It's just a lot of points to be laying in the NFL, by the way. Favorites and overs did extremely, extremely well on the day. I think 18-2-2 is one of the stats I saw. I didn't count them up. That was one of the, it's in the ballpark. Of course, when you start talking about, you know, pushes, it depends when and where you bet it. But the bottom line, favorites did well. Overs did very well. But I would go Chiefs team total over here. I think they get into the 30s. You know, they lit up Baltimore. They got 30 plus against Detroit. Even against Jacksonville, I think scored 28, but they had over 7 yards per play. They have started to look, now they got Rice back, and they have started to look like the old Chiefs offense with Rice, with Worthy. A little bit of a running game. Smith gives them some juice out of the backfield. So I do think the Chiefs get over their team total. That was the other thing of today. And that was just a gruesome injury with Scadabo. The Giants were starting to be a little fun, a little feisty. They lose Neighbors a month or so ago. Now you lose Scadabo. And just, again, horrible, horrible injury to watch. If you haven't seen it, don't go see it. It's just brutal to watch. And he was a fun player. By the way, they got, and they probably weren't going to win the game anyway. They got absolutely screwed by the refs in that game. And if you're the Eagles, I think that even though the call went in your favor, I think that was a bad one. People didn't see it. Hurts, QB sneak, their little tush push. He fumbles. It's a clear as day fumble. By the way, the right guard false started on the same play. Fumble. Then they blow the whistle as the Giants are running it back and say, oh, forward progress has stopped, which it wasn't. That might get the play banned. That turns people off so much. When you're going to give them all these advantages, you're going to let the linemen move a little bit. You're going to let them get away with fumbles. It's not a fun product to watch anyway. It's not a fun play to watch anyway. It's just kind of a loophole in the rule. Granted, they're great at it, and nobody else seems to master it. Not sure that play is going to be around next year. I think they might figure out a way to legislate that out of the game, and plays like that aren't going to help. That was a terrible call that didn't benefit the Giants. But Giants were going to be feisty, going to be kind of a team you want to bet on week to week with Scadabo, with Dart, and you know, not that you bet or don't bet a game because of a running back, but just, you know, he's a fun player to watch, and it's hard to see that injury. Just kind of a depressing injury from that standpoint too. And again, what was just a tough, tough day of football. You have to really love football to sit there for 6-7 hours and watch these games. You better really love it, because it was not a great product. The games were not exciting. And even the Sunday night game, it looked like the Steelers were in control here, and the Packers just pulled away and put up a victory, a loss that really is going to put the Steelers in tough position, even with a 2-game lead going forward. So Chiefs team total over 30.5. That's the football play. I mentioned I have a college football play. Houston to make the college football is 13-1 at FanDuel. They're 15-1 to win the Big 12. I don't know if they go undefeated from here on out, if they'll be in the Big 12 title game. Obviously, it'll depend on how these other teams do. You know, Texas Tech and BYU is still undefeated. But if you look at the Houston schedule, they just beat, in a really good win, they just beat Arizona State on the road. They get West Virginia at home, so a home game against West Virginia, at UCF, very winnable. They'll be a big favorite. Home against TCU, not an easy game, but again, it's home. And at Baylor, it's possible they're sitting there with one loss and either in the Big 12 title game and you can hedge. Would the committee put them in? Do they have enough wins? I mean, Arizona, they beat Arizona. They beat Oak State. They lost by 24 to Texas Tech. They beat Oregon State. They beat Colorado by 16. They beat Rice by 26. And they beat Stephen F. Austin. They might have to win the Big 12. But at 13-1, I think they're worth a shot that they can run the table and they're in the Big 12 title game and you can buy back. And maybe if chaos breaks around them, they put them in as a one-loss team. I wouldn't think so, just looking at that resume, that schedule. But I do think with their schedule and that number, that's worth a shot. I mentioned Kelly got fired from LSU. Boy, you're going to have a lot of coaches changing teams here. A lot of leverage here. If you're Clark Lee, the Vandy coach, if you're Lane Kiffin, who's rumored for every job under the sun, Florida, LSU, Penn State, who knows, Clemson, is Dabo Sweeney going to be back there next year? And then some of these lesser jobs. I mean, you're going to have a lot of marquee jobs open. I'm just curious where the hell the money comes from for $50 million buyouts. And Kelly got $54 million. We'll see if there's some sort of negotiation where Kelly gives back some of the money. If you're Kelly, I don't know why you would. I mean, he's not obligated to. If I'm Kelly, I'm saying, hey, you want to fire me? Fine. I'm not giving you any of the money back. I'm going to keep all my money. But it's going to be a wild coaching vacancy cycle here in the next couple months, the next coming months. LSU, Florida, Penn State, UCLA, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Stanford, and who knows, maybe Clemson. So, Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach, he'll be a hot commodity. The Memphis coach will be a hot commodity. Kiffin's going to be pretty highly sought after. Maybe Franklin resurfaces at one of these lesser jobs. I wouldn't think he's in the mix for LSU or Clemson. I think he probably goes down a peg, but he's a guy, get you to 9-10 wins and straighten your program. Give your program a high floor, if nothing else. So that will be fun to monitor. But gave out the play for football. We got the Chiefs team total over 30.5. Not a game I love. Not looking to lay it or take it. I would take it before I laid it. But with the Bills on deck, I prefer the Chiefs team total over. And then Houston 13-1 to make the college football playoff. Coming up next, baseball. I'll break down the World Series, give you a couple best bets. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. We'll do a little baseball here. World Series Game 3 is on Monday night. Series tied 1-1. It is now a best of 5 to win it all. The next 3 are in L.A., and then games 6 and 7, if necessary, are in Toronto. So Toronto's got to win one here in LA to get back to Toronto. Of course, they could win all 3, and then they don't have to go back to Toronto that way, and they'd be pretty happy about it. But I can't see that happening. It is Glasnow against Scherzer, the former Dodger, who was a brief Dodger 4 years ago now, 2021, just that summer they had him at the trade deadline. If you remember, he went in Game 5 of the division series and pitched the 9th inning, closed it out, and got the strikeout, the controversial strikeout on Wilmer Flores to end it, and then got hurt in the middle of that series, kind of flipped that series around. Dodgers were pretty big favorites. Atlanta ended up winning the series and winning the whole thing. So it's always fun when you have a all-time great pitcher trying to have one more signature moment, fighting Father Time, a little like Billy Chaplin for Love of the Game, and he had that moment, to some extent, in game 4 of the ALCS with the Jays down 2-1, pitched into whatever it was, 5th, 6th inning, threw a decent game, and the Jays were able to even that series and went on to win it, obviously. 6.5 is the strikeout prop for Glasnow. 4.5 is the strikeout prop for Scherzer. Both unders are pretty juiced. I would only look towards the Scherzer. Scherzer minus 155 for Scherzer. And, I mean, the books are telling you they don't expect him to go very long. His outs prop is 11.5. Over is pretty juiced, minus 160. I think the Dodgers are in good shape here. Game 1, Snell wasn't sharp, and that was a terrible. And Freeman's a good player. Killed the Yankees last year, World Series MVP. Absolutely destroyed the Yankees. Just a classic left-handed hitter. Decent enough glove. He's a tremendous player. Might be a Hall of Fame player. he killed them Friday night. They're up 2-0, two on, nobody out. A chance to blow the game open, an RBI single, would have been 2-0, nobody out. And he, for some reason, and he's slow as anything, gets caught trying to go to third. He's out, really settles the inning down. Blue Jays get out of it. Inning or so later, they tie it. And then, you know, it becomes a battle of the bullpen. Snell ran out of gas. Pitch count got up there, and the Blue Jays won a comfortable game. And then, obviously, Saturday night, Yamamoto, just another tremendous performance, a complete game. Second complete game in a row. Another guy, as I mentioned, the Yankees got outbid for. Freeman and Yamamoto, you go down the line with all these guys they get outbid for that come up big in big spots. But 1-1 game. Smith homers. That was really the biggest hit of the series so far, that homer to make it 2-1. Because if you don't, and I know they added on runs after that, if you don't get those runs, and I'll get to my bets here in a second for this game, I got a couple. If it gets, once you get into the bottom of the seventh, the eighth, the longer you go in that type of a game, the more it feels like, you know, it favors the home team, especially the Jays are a scrappy team. Dodgers don't have a good bullpen. So that was a huge, huge homer for Smith. And obviously a tremendous performance by Yamamoto. As far as this game three, I got a couple plays. Vlad Guerrero to walk. It's not up yet. They wait for the lineups to come out. Vlad Guerrero to walk in his first at bat was 7-1 in game two. It didn't cash. It did cash in game one. Snell walked him, two on, nobody out. And that was a situation where Snell had a pretty manageable pitch count going into that Guerrero bat in the first inning Friday night. I think 7-8 pitches. He got the first two guys pretty easy. Guerrero was a long at bat, ended up turning into a long inning. He pitched out of it, but by the second inning, he was well over 40 pitches. I think 41 pitches after two. It's not well over, but over. So I could see Glasnow, who can walk people. He's got great stuff, but I could see Glasnow. He's got 53 walks in just over 100 innings combined, regular and postseason. First of all, might just walk him, even if he's not pitching around him. Plus, you get a situation two out, nobody on. You might just, I don't want this guy to change the score. We've talked about it a lot with Jose Ramirez in the past. Two out, nobody on. Let's not pitch to him. Let's pitch around him. We'll walk him. Man on second, one out. Let's not let him, you know, get an RBI single here. Let's pitch around him. All of those scenarios there. So anything 6-7-1 or higher, I would look at Guerrero to walk. And I think the Dodgers win. I like this matchup for him. I don't want to lay the price. I will play the Dodgers -130 here to score first. I think that's the best way to play it, considering you do have Glasnow, who's got good stuff. You have the shadows, a 5 o'clock local start. It's going to be hard to hit Glasnow. It's going to be hard to score off Glasnow. And if you can get a scoreless top of the first, you got Otani, you got Betts, you got Freeman, you got Hernandez, you got all this firepower. You got a bunch of speed too. So if somebody gets on, they can make things happen with Otani and Betts. Both those guys can run. Otani's underrated as a runner. I would say that's the way to play it instead of laying the huge price here with the Dodgers to win the game, Dodgers to score first. But again, I think we're looking at a pretty long series here, best of five. I don't see the Dodgers winning all three. I thought Dodgers in four or five going in. I'd probably readjust that to Dodgers in six. If you're looking for a real long shot, Glasnow is 70-1 for MVP, and already missed on Snell, so I don't want to just keep giving out guy after guy. But game three, same sort of thinking with Snell. He pitches game three and wins, and then if it goes to seven, he could have two of the four wins where you got the one win and then the clincher at 70-1, I don't think is a bad bet at Glasnow if you had nothing else. Of course, Otani's the favorite. He's 2-1. He's still going to pitch here in game four, which could be a pivotal game. He's bound to do something at the plate, even though if you want to really poke holes in what Otani's done here, had the great game in game four of the NLCS. They were up 3-0. Okay, he had three homers. He struck out 10 guys. Nobody's ever done anything like that. That being said, he didn't do anything before. The home run in game one was when the game was out of reach. He really struggled for a lot of this postseason, but he's the favorite. He's the rightful favorite. At 2-1, I probably need a little more considering all the different things that can happen, all the different guys that can win. I do think if you're just looking for a long, long shot, Glasnow at 70-1 is a fun one if you think this can go seven. But I think the Dodgers are in good shape here. Pivotal game three. You're going to see all the stats here, all the stats. The winner of game three when it's tied 1-1, that team goes on to win 70% of the time, which makes sense. Any particular game in a short series, the team that wins that game, the team who wins game one is going to win the series the majority of the time. You're going to pick any specific game, that team is going to be favored to win. It's just such a short series that, you know, you pick any game, it's going to be they're going to be the favorite to win going forward. But should be fun. I think the Dodgers win. I just don't know what Scherzer has left. I don't know. You're looking to get 3-4 innings out of him. He's he's not the pitcher he was 3 years ago, 5 years ago. He's lower velocity. It's breaking stuff. It's control, and even his control. He walked a bunch of guys in that Mariner game. So I just have a hard time seeing him going into LA, missing bats, being dominant. I think the Dodgers will put the ball in play. I think the Dodgers can take him deep. And I do think the Dodgers win this game. If they don't, it's 2-1, and then there's a little pressure on Ohtani now. Now, all of a sudden, Ohtani takes him out. Hey, you're not up 3-0 anymore. You're kind of pitching to save the season in some respects in game four, because if Toronto wins here in game number three. That would put some pressure on Ohtani to not be down 3-1 where 6 and 7 are in Toronto. Then you got to win 3 in a row, 2 on the road. So we'll see how it plays out. But Dodgers to score first. Glasnow, 70-1 MVP, I think is worth a small bet. And Guerrero to walk his first at bat. Should be fun. Should be fun. Again, 5 o'clock local start. Should be some shadows. Might be tough for those Blue Jays to hit early on. So we'll see here. Next time we talk, it'll be Wednesday. We'll be getting ready for game five. We could be previewing a potential closeout, a potential end to the World Series. It's such a long season, but it does feel, even though it's so long, it does feel like it goes by pretty fast. And you think back to that opening night, that opening weekend, Yankees and Brewers. Yankees are hitting a million homers. The torpedo bats. It doesn't seem like it's that long ago that occurred. But back in March, and here we are headed towards November here, a couple days away from Halloween. We're kind of getting there. It does, even though it's a super long season, it does feel like it goes by quickly. And then you'll get into an interesting hot stove with Skubal possibly being traded. If I'm the Tigers, I'm not trading him. I'm not signing him. I'm just gonna let him pitch, man. I'm just gonna, depending upon the offers, it's almost like running backs in football. These guys are so prone to getting hurt that you just keep churning them out. You just keep recycling them. Get the most you can out of them. And if he walks and somebody gives him $400 million, you say, you know what? Thank you for your service. We'll find another guy to throw 99, and we'll try to shape him into a Cy Young winner. I know you're not going to replace what Skubal can give you, but he's already had some arm issues. He's already thrown a ton of pitches, a ton of innings. It just doesn't feel like a 5-6 year deal for Skubal is going to age well. That's one I'd be very nervous about. And I'd probably let him play out the year and see how it goes from there. So that will be interesting once the season ends. And he'll have bitters. I mean, can you imagine the Red Sox getting him and Crochet and Skubal at the top of rotation? He's obviously going to be very, very tempting. The return price for Skubal will be fascinating, because only 1 year of control. You're going to have to pay him on top of it. So it's not like you're going to give up for him this just complete Herschel Walker level package of my 2 or 3 best prospects, a couple major leaguers. You can't give the Godfather off, because he's only 1 year. And throw in the fact that he's a pitcher, he's had injury issues, he's thrown a lot of pitches. As great as he is, that's a very tricky situation with what to trade for him, what to pay him. That'll be fascinating to watch. But it does sound like they're leaning towards trading him. So that will look, you get a guy like Skubal on the market, you're going to have basically every team in the league, not every team in the league, but a lot of the teams in the league, at least picking up at the phone and seeing what's the price, what would it cost. I don't know that the Yankees would get involved. Would a package of like Schlittler and Ben Rice and, I don't know, Dominguez, some other guys in the minors, I don't know, for 1 year of rental, it's at least worth listening if you're Detroit. Boston's got a bunch of prospects. The Dodgers, I don't know that the Dodgers have the prospects, but they always seem to be in the mix for all these guys. So it'll be fascinating to see that's the case. But like I said, best of five. It's 1-1. It's a first to four win. So it is now a best of five here for the World Series. I do think the Dodgers win game three and sets up a game four here where if it's 2-1 Dodgers with Ohtani on the mound, you feel like they're in good shape. And if it's 2-1 Blue Jays, Ohtani will be under some pressure in game four. So we will be back on Wednesday to discuss it all. We could be previewing a clincher, a possible clincher, or it's 2-2 heading into game five. So I'm excited. Monday's a good night here. We got a Monday night football game. We've got the World Series. So should be a night you got your remote control working. So we'll be back Wednesday. Little solo podcast wrapping up the day. Rate, review, subscribe. See you guys then.